For exporting, coal would be a great source of family wage jobs for parts of this region that are sorely in need of family wage jobs. I also agree with the Union Pacific witness who said that this coal can be transported safely. Like somebody else said, you know, this ain't 1930. There ain't yards and yards of coal flying off. And the Asian economies are going to get their coal. So why the heck shouldn't we sell it to them? Sorry.
Language.
And I'm here to propose the resolution, oppose the resolution, because I think we need the jobs. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Russ Garnett. I represent the roofers and waterproofers statewide. We're based in Portland, but I go all over the state. I got members in Curry County, Columbia County, all the way across. And what I'm here to talk about is my members, sure, we're union. We're not going to get a lot of jobs out of this prospect. What I'm here for is for the families. Now, if you may be different if you live in Multnomah County, but if you go down to Curry County and take a look at the economy down there, what's going on with their local governments, their schools especially, are falling apart. We have that all across the state, and a lot because of the timber we cut down, and we don't have the government subsidies, or we may not anymore for these places. We need some sort of real revenue. Now, somebody talked about the city around here, the mayor, where there's 70% of their business comes off of tourism. I remember reading that. That's also, they have 25% unemployment in that area. I think we've found out that tourism and service jobs are not going to cut it for Oregon. It's only a part, sure, but look at the coast. It's not going to solve the problems in Clatsop County or any of these other places. And as far as some of the environmental aspects, there are bad. I think the diesel transportation is probably one of the worst things in this area, and it's not just from trains. It comes from everywhere. We live around it. I live right next to some train tracks. I've got a green space of about a half mile, and then I've got train tracks. I've lived there for over 20 years. I've kind of gotten used to the noise, and the fact is that we're going to have that noise whether we have coal shipped through here or not. The other question is Asia. They're going to have to burn coal because they're not going to build nuclear plants anymore, and they're not going to restart them. Coal is the quickest, cheapest generation to that. China's going to do it. Korea's doing it. Japan's already starting to do it. The fact is we can sell them a lot cleaner, burning, low-sulfur coal that doesn't damage the environment nearly as much, or we can say we're going to be environmental. We're not going to sell to you. So Indonesia, New Zealand, and Australia are going to sell them very dirty, high sulfur coal, which will get into the atmosphere. We'll see it someday. As for the gorge right now, there's already train tracks have been rolling through there, and there will be. Oregon is geographically located to ship this product across the country or across the ocean. And if Oregon doesn't do it, Washington very likely will. So that's my 10 seconds. I would ask you to oppose, and for the rest of the state of Oregon, you give that a chance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for your testimony. All right, the next four
are Joan Belden, Mac McKinley, Nadine Zimmer, and Dennis Reichelt. And they'll be followed by Earl Schweitzer, Don Stenke, Bonnie McKinley, and Kathleen Shellman.
You're on. If the light's on, it's on. Yeah. So we're going to the panel after this. So we'll do this panel, one more panel in opposition to the resolution, and then we're moving to 2 minutes. So that'll give you about 8, 9, 10 minutes to whittle down your testimony. We find that what can be said very convincingly in 3 minutes is absolutely that much more effective in 2 minutes. So. Would you like to begin?
My name is Joan Belden, and I'm from Portland, and I'm here today as a relatively new resident of Portland. I moved here a year ago, and I was drawn to Portland largely because of its reputation of being clean, green, and livable. My husband and I moved to the neighborhood of St. John's, which has made great strides to become a wonderful little community, and we love it. But sadly, St. John's is also a community that will be greatly impacted by coal trains. When I first learned about the coal train proposal last January, I was totally shocked. It's like, this is not what I moved here for. But I was also confident. I was confident that Portland's officials would come forward and firmly say, wait, what does this have to do, what does this mean for Portland? No, we don't want anything coming through our community that will pollute our air, pollute our water. We won't compromise the health of our citizens. Open coal car trains run totally counter to everything we've worked so hard to build a reputation on. We care about our environment, the health of our community, and coal trains in Portland are not a match. Aside from some temporary infrastructure jobs, what is it that we in Portland have to gain from this? I myself have a history of being sickly with repeated bouts of bronchitis. I've been happily free of this illness for several years now, and I never want to return to those days. But I live a half mile from the tracks, and I now fear a return of that illness, possibly. But I fear more for those living even closer to the tracks, especially the children. And I fear for St. John's, the community. I would not have moved here if I knew that this was a coal train community. I don't want to live in a coal train community. So I'm glad that you are here today to consider this resolution, and I ask that you give it your full support. I only wish that you'd been willing to, or there'd been a way to that the gorge had not been compromised away. That's a huge disappointment. The health of the gorge is invaluable to the health of our rivers, fisheries, and recreation. It's a part of our soul. I wish you would consider and add the coal barges to this resolution. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Hello. My name is Mac McKinley. I live in Northeast Killingsworth in 46 in Columbia Eco Village, a short distance from potential torrents of coal on railroad lines in the Columbia River. Please pass this measure. Three things. One, coal mining and burning destroys nature and the earth. We have been blessed with this blue-green planet, charged to care for it as it cares for us. Two, only by actions such as this measure can we fight our suicidal addiction to fossil fuels. Can we fight for our people and our earth against those who always choose money above all else, regardless of the death they cause? We cannot wait, hoping that others will avoid the temptation of money. We must choose the path of life now. Three, most importantly, let us not betray our young people by putting them in bondage to an evil enterprise. For if jobs in the export of coal are created, some people will have to choose them just to survive. And then, because of us, the youth will devote their lives, their careers, to the leveling of nature, to the poisoning of communities and environments, for the entire length of a wasteful transport, to the pollution of Asia, to the life-destroying destruction of the Earth's atmosphere and climate. This is bondage to evil, not real jobs, not jobs that allow a worker to occasionally feel good about the meaning of their work. Our real job and theirs is to do the work that builds our communities sustainably and that honors all people and the earth. Thank you for creating this measure. Please pass it.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Hi.
Hi.
I like your shirt.
Oh, thank you. My name is Nadine Zimmer, and I live in Northeast Portland. I'm going to be very, very brief. I am for the resolution, And I moved here a little over 4 years ago. And the reason I moved here is because of the reputation of Portland as being so, you know, conscious of the environment, et cetera. And I think that this would be devastating for Portland. And that's basically all I have to say. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity of being here.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Sir.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good afternoon. My name is Dennis Reichel, representing the Northwest, the Northwest Friends of the Union of Concerned Scientists. A lot of great testimony today, by the way. We strongly support Commissioner Fritz's resolution opposing the transport of coal by train through Portland on its way to China unless and until there's a thorough area-wide environmental impact statement done. It only makes sense. We strongly urge the City Council to at least consider amending the resolution to include barge traffic, coal on barge traffic. And there's probably many other issues besides that should be addressed in such an EIS. For example, who really benefits when coal from public lands that belongs to all U.S. citizens is sold by Amber, an Australian-based company, to China? How is it in our interest to help China produce cheap electricity by burning coal without regard to the environment? How is it in our economic interest to help China lower their power costs in the production of goods that will compete with ours? Finally, really just to get an idea of how much for coal we're talking about, I tried to contemplate what that was, and it turns out that it's something like 12 to 25 trains worth of coal would be coming through Portland on a daily basis. That translates into about, if you look to the south and you look at the Wells Fargo Tower, the amount of coal that would come into Portland every day would be somewhere between half that tower full to all that tower full on a daily basis, just for a quantity. I was kind of curious about what that looked like. Anyway, thank you again for the opportunity to support this very important and timely resolution, and we urge you to pass it with an amendment on barging coal. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. For an opposition, and then we're going to 2 minutes.
Earl Schweitzer, Don Steinke, Bonnie McKinley, and Kathleen Shellman. And they'll be followed by Pam Ali, Polly Walker, I believe was the last name, Richard Elmeyer, and Bonnie Meltzer.
No, I don't think we had any more signed up for the opposition.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. So we'll just be, these are, okay. Hi, welcome. Would you like to begin?
Hi. I'll do it. I'm Kathleen Shellman, and I am from Corbett. And I'm here to talk about the East Wind, because the East Wind, as many of us know, but as I know really well, having lived in Corbett for 25 years, is a great particulate delivery system to the entire east side of Portland. It blows through the gorge. It picks up whatever is there, including dust, seeds, small branches, large branches, probably small animals, who knows. And it delivers them over a fairly wide area, and this wind blows frequently in fall and spring and very frequently in winter at speeds from 15 to 30 miles an hour sustained, with gusts that can be up to 70 miles an hour at times. So the idea that coal trains going through the gorge covered with surfactants, that nothing is going to come off those trains, I find ridiculous. Second, I'm also speaking as a retired teacher who has spent 23 years standing on the playground at Wilkes Elementary, which is near the train tracks and the gorge. And I just want to mention that school children are outside every day. Grade school children are outside at recess all day long. There's somebody out there. Middle school kids are out there for sports. Kids are waiting for the bus. High school kids are out there for sports. Kids are outside in East County all the time, and I just went through the list last night. In Reynolds School District, there are 21 sites, David Douglas, 16, Centennial, 11, and Parco, 7. That does not include the four in Corbett, and it does not include anything around Rocky Butte, where my future grandson is going to be living. All of those children are at risk from coal dust being blown into their lungs. They're at risk from diesel emissions that are blowing their way, and it just seems to me highly irresponsible to talk about how we're going to be providing money for schools when we're ready to sacrifice the children that are theoretically learning in those schools. Instead of supporting our children in schools by nefarious activities like gambling or environmentally toxic things like transporting coal, I think that we should maybe think of some other more positive ways to fund school and not try to rely on things that just aren't good for anybody to produce a good result. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for the opportunity to speak on this important local, regional, and global issue. Especially thanks to you, Commissioner Fritz. Commissioner Fritz, for bringing this forth. My name is Bonnie McKinley. I'm with Power Pass Coal. Through the years, this room has resounded with discussions on the city's business of zoning, regulations, new programs, old pipes. Today, we talk on the most important of business, our city's role in this climate stability of our shared atmosphere. When we consider all the impacts of coal exports through the region, we must study what those exports are and where those exports are going. The proposed exports are not wheat and wind turbines. They are not headed for sustainable use beyond our borders. No, these toxic exports are going to coal-fired plants. These exports would add vast quantities of carbon to our damaged atmosphere. We must not sweep severe climate realities under a rug of questionable economic benefits. We must be responsible. We must accept and act with the knowledge that our precious atmosphere has had its fill of carbon. Rational people and those people with no financial connection to fossil fuel industries agree that we must stop carbon production to save our atmosphere. All the city's fine anti-pollution measures, bioswales, bike lanes, climate action plans, will never counterbalance an acceptance of the proposed coal exports. Our city must stand out with our characteristic courage. We must not condone business ventures that will lead to increased climate disruption. Excuse me. I'm going to repeat that sentence. We must not condone business ventures that will lead to increased climate disruption, thereby bringing on the destruction of life on our special planet. We must resolve no coal exports. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Sir.
Hello. I'm from Clark County, and we're going to have three times as much coal traffic through our county, and we would like you to help us keep the Pacific Northwest clean. No coal barges, no coal trains. And the new EPA air quality standards effectively ban the construction of new coal-burning power plants in the United States. And the mayor of New York, Bloomberg, gave $50 million to fund a campaign to accelerate the closing of coal-burning power plants in the United States. So this plan to export coal seems irresponsible. And I hope you can you'll pass this resolution and add barges to the prohibition. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Appreciate it. So we actually are there. We're running out of time for our allotted, so we'll take the next panel. And then I'll ask folks, if you've signed up, so the next panel, folks, coming up. After that, if you've signed up but your point has already been made, then I would ask that you defer. But if there's a point that has not been made yet and you've signed up, I'd ask you to take your sign-up time. Bonnie, would you like to begin?
I would. Thank you for having us here today. I know this is a symbolic gesture, but symbolic gestures have a lot of power. and I hope that you will add no barges to the what you have written. It will make it much stronger and be a really strong no coal statement. I'm from North Portland. I live 5 blocks from the railroad cut where there are proposed 6 trains full, 6 trains empty, and about a quarter of a mile from the tunnel where there will be another batch of trains coming. I'm an organic gardener. I am worried. But I'm here to talk about the river. I'm here to talk about the lost jobs that will come at the expense of these coal jobs. And I think if you had a giant scale and you measured the jobs that were lost in favor of these jobs that are coming, we would be in very big trouble. We went out to the gorge, and I'm going to use this because there was a farmer out there, and there is coal dust on his land now. From only 3 coal trains a week, there is now coal dust. How does that affect his land? How does it affect our food supply? I am also met a young woman who was selling fish, and she hadn't heard about the barges, and she was in a state of panic when I talked with her. She was a native woman, and she said, our native people fish there. We have spoken about this before. But there were all those other jobs on the riverbank. Some young people had a business where they sold windsurfing lessons and all the other kinds of sports that I don't do, that other people do. And they would go out of business because nobody is going to want to be in the river with 50 coal trains a day and a lot of coal barges. So I want you to think about all those kinds of jobs that would be lost, not only tourism, but our food supply. I'm very concerned about our food supply and my own food supply because I grow 50% of my food. I'm also concerned about people who ship wheat. Is wheat going to be pushed to the sidelines because coal is going to be more important? And remember, it is our Northwest farmers who grow that wheat to send to China. Also, a good job isn't a good job if it makes you sick. And if you have a job that makes you sick, you can't work. I want you to not be the council that is remembered for ruining our city and for changing it from green to gritty. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Elmire?
My name is Richard Elmire. I'm the chair of the North Portland Coal Committee. A resolution opposing coal export by any conveyance through Portland and the Pacific Northwest. Whereas loud noise, carcinogenic diesel emissions, and toxic coal dust from increased rail and barge traffic, transporting coal will negatively affect the livability of Portland's neighborhoods and the health of its citizens and those throughout the Pacific Northwest, as well as plants, trees, fish, and other animals. And whereas the proposed dramatic increase of mile-and-a-half-long coal trains will dangerously obstruct grade crossings for long periods of time, causing a decrease in local commerce, local mobility, and timely access to public safety vehicles to emergency situations in Portland and throughout the Pacific Northwest. And whereas the proposed annual transport of 157 million tons of Powder River Basin coal through the veins and arteries of the Pacific Northwest is an issue of profits versus pollution, and whereas there is no competition nor comparison between the health and safety of the many and the potential jobs of the few, and whereas Republican members of the United States Senate and House of Representatives, the Republican National Platform, and the Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and his VP pick Paul Ryan all oppose any regulations that impede profit-making and endorse catastrophic budget reductions in federal agencies that protect the health and safety of the American people and those who live in Portland and the Pacific Northwest, and whereas the number of jobs lost, businesses closed, and property values diminished due to coal transportation remains unanswered and uncalculated. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City of Portland that we oppose coal exports by any conveyance through Portland and the Pacific Northwest.
Be it further resolved that the City of Portland requests the federal government cease and desist all coal sales for export at the publicly owned Powder River Basin. And be it further resolved that the City of Portland requests that the federal government immediately end all tax and other subsidies to fossil fuel extractors, including and especially coal companies, and transfer those funds to research, development, and support of sustainable energy sources, weatherization programs, and Energy Star appliance rebates throughout America. Be it resolved further that the City of Portland requests that the governors of Oregon and Washington cooperate on a study which would determine the number of jobs lost, businesses closed, and property values diminished due to coal transport through their states. And finally, be it further resolved that the City of Portland requests that the President of the United States declare the export of coal a national economic, health, and security issue, and that he stop it immediately. I urge the Council to adopt the no coal resolution I have submitted to you in place of the some coal resolution currently under discussion. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, would you like to begin?
Thank you. My name is Polly Waller. Thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish, for this opportunity to speak against coal. I'm probably going to have a lot of things that are here that have already been said, but I hope you're considering the health effects that coal transportation would have on people, the flora, the fauna, our air, water, marine life, our cities, our natural environment, and the tourist industry. Coal is dirty and dangerous. Barges would probably result in the same problems that trains would in the loss of coal dust as they pass through the environment. From what I've read, wind and moisture aggravate the coal heating process, which is the problem with why the coal trains, as you've heard, have to be uncovered. And coal dust blowing off the coal cars can be explosive if ignited by a spark. Coal dust's toxic heavy metals have the known health problems, and they would affect the health of our tourist economy and the city's desire to attract active and conscientious citizens who are drawn to our relatively healthy and pristine environment. It appears coal train derailments are not that uncommon either. In a year span from August 2011 to September 2012, there were 22 coal train derailments nationwide. It's outrageous that no federal or state health study has been done prior to beginning a project with the magnitude of negative effects that coal trains and boats would cause. And of course, once in China, the coal burnt in use would return to us in the air again. OSHA has established a permissible exposure limit for workers exposed to coal dust because of known problems it causes. Senators Wyden and Blumenauer should be pushed to get Obama to enact the PCEI study before this would begin, and no economic gain from coal transporting and exporting could justify the potential costs on our lives and the resources we depend on to survive. So please oppose the coal trains passing through Portland and the Pacific Northwest. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Hi. Welcome back.
Hello. My name is Pam Ali, and I live in North Portland. And for the benefit of some of my brothers and sisters here, I'm a retired marine engineer, and I did sail, and I mean sail, as a union member for almost 20 years. I'm going to ask you to think again about jobs in perhaps a little bit different way than you normally would. Now, this point has been made here, but I think it bears making again. I do support Amanda's resolution, and I thank you for it, but this resolution says nothing about barges, and I really hope you would add that in. I suspect and fear that the question of rail transport may serve as a distraction from the real unspoken issue of barges, barging. Barges which can be built here at Gunderson, providing lots of new jobs, so we are told. Some of us think that the word jobs has become a Pavlovian bell. Hear it? That's something that will produce jobs, paychecks, taxes, prosperity, and that's the whole enchilada. End of story. This we've been seeing this happen over and over again. Goodness. I challenge you to extend your thinking past the paycheck and the tax revenues to consider what a job does, what it contributes to when it's over. Doctors have jobs, and so do mob hitmen. Instead of barges, why don't we build the infrastructure for sustainable energy that will not rip the earth, pollute our lungs, destroy fish and forests? That's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Does anyone wish a minute, 60 seconds, to mention an issue that hasn't been brought up before?
Maybe we should get
Thank you.
Put on.
So we'll take the first four again. Underscoring something that's already been said, this is not the time for that. New points, this is the time for that. Hi, welcome back. Glad you're here.
Hello, council members. Thank you for presenting this resolution. My name is Angela Elby. I'm wearing four hats, even though I don't see them. First, I am here representing the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, which has taken a position against the coal shipment. I will put this in the record by giving it to the clerk. This letter is being sent to the governor, the senators, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and CC'd to the council. So that's one thing. Number two, I'm also land use chair for the Woodlawn Neighborhood Association. We voted to join with the North Portland neighbors and vote against coal. Number three, I am a wife of a man who is detoxifying himself from mercury. We don't need any more mercury. And I'm also a historian, excuse me. And history teaches that when you've polluted the environment, it takes many generations to unpollute it. So don't trade today's jobs for toxic environment for generations to come.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. So, Portland.
So I just need to get you to give us our name. I know you, but not everyone else.
My name is Spencer Burton. I'm here to speak out passionately against the use, against the transportation of coal. We must stand by our values. We must say no to coal transport. We must say no to coal powering our electricity. Portland has a brand. It's a green brand. It's a sustainable brand. It's something we believe in. It's something we support. We must not undercut that. We must say no. If you believe in climate change, we cannot burn coal, whether it's burned here or in China. We must say no to coal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My name is Jeff Cohen. I've lived in Portland for 32 years. Prior to that, I lived in Pendleton, Oregon for 4 years. Coal is a personal thing for me. I remember steam engines. Growing up outside of Philadelphia, I remember my mother saying, I just can't get rid of all this coal dust. No matter how much I dust, no matter how much I wipe down the furniture, there's coal dust all over everything. And she had a few expletives on top of that. This whole thing with coal kind of reminds me of what happened prior to World War II, when our local steel industries, some of whom were selling steel to the Germans, that was used to build tanks. And here we are talking about exporting a product that is going to endanger our world environment. So I have a lot of empathy and compassion for the people who need jobs in Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon. I understand where you're coming from, but you can't make a pact with the devil. You cannot have jobs at the expense of our health.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Hi.
Hi. My name is Greg Sautier, and I live in the Cully neighborhood in northeast Portland. And a couple of issues that I want to mention that haven't been mentioned yet is the rail crossing at Columbia and 60th, and also at Cully and Columbia. Both of those rail crossings are pretty fragile. And as you know, Cully is the most diverse neighborhood in all of Oregon. It's also one of the most park poor. And you've done some great work to set up parks there, and I want to thank you all for that. However, this these coal transports, the line is going to bisect two of these new parks. And it's going to really create pedestrian crossing problems, among other things. So that's a very, very real consideration for the people in Cully. Secondly, I want to talk a little bit about property values very, very quickly. It's going to be really weird to watch as my taxes are increasing to address the negative effects on schools, libraries, and public services from the austerity budget, watching my property values and quality of life decline is a very, very troubling prospect. So thank you for this resolution, and please pass it.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your brevity. Next, we'll do two and two. So, yeah, you're good. Two orange, two green, two orange. We got color coordination going here. Sir, would you like to begin?
Yes, I'm John Candiotto with Sheet Metal Workers, Air, Rail, and Transportation Workers. I heard over and over of open cars, rail cars, contain them. We are in the 21st century. We can contain them. We can ventilate them. We scrub. My workers do air pollution control work, among other things. They also build rail cars. We would be happy to build all those contained cars. Scrub, how many people in this room remember Camus in the 60s? You could taste it, the smell. After our workers put air pollution control in there, air scrubbers, we do them at Intel, we do them at paper mills, we've reduced the pollution. In the 21st century, I think we can solve the problems.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Liz Westman, and I am a telecommuter who moved here from California. I came because I worked late last night so I could come here on my lunch break. I moved to Portland last year because it's clean, because it's nice, because it's affordable, and because I can bring income into the city without taking away any jobs. I also am highly mobile, and I can leave whenever I want. If I can't breathe, if I can't drink the water, if I can't hike with my dog, if I can't play in the gorge, I don't want to live here. And I know there are a lot of people that telecommute into the city from California, from Seattle, and we're a highly mobile group, and we're also a highly desirable group.
Thank you. Where do you telecommute back to?
San Francisco.
Well,
but I would move to Los Angeles because I'd rather deal with their smog than deal with the black lung.
Thanks for being here. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my first time here. My name's Dennis.
How is it so far?
A little cool for me.
A little cool?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Other than that, I love it.
It's freezing. Thank you for saying
I
that.
I think it's perfect temperature.
I'm shivering. I should have worn long pants. But thank you for having me. My name is Dennis Pock-Lacuha. I'm a resident of North Portland. I've been there for 20 years, and I like to think that I'm speaking for the school children of Portland. Portland's kids, especially in North Portland, breathe some of the dirtiest air in the nation, and so I feel like I'm speaking for them. My concern is that these barges are going to be built on Swan Island by Gunderson and Vigor Industries. I live downwind, just a half a mile from Swan Island, and when the wind is blowing from the south, I and my family and many of my neighbors have to go indoors. The air is that toxic. And I'd like to differ with the doctor who spoke the first panel. We do not have relatively clean air in Portland. It's pretty dirty. It looks clean, but it's not. And so as much as I hope that no one loses a job, I feel for people who need work. I feel like we cannot have any more dirty jobs in Portland. Swan Island's industries need to decrease their pollution, not increase it. And building these barges is only going to make North Portland much dirtier. Please, not only pay attention to the coal that's going to possibly come through here, but please pay attention to what's happening on Swan Island. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Hi.
Hi. My first time also.
How do you like it? Is it too cold?
No, it's perfect for me.
She's very smart.
She's got long pants.
I want to thank you, Mayor and Council members. This is my first time here. I have emailed all of you on various subjects, including the coal train. You've all read them. You've been responsive to the various issues that I've talked about, and I want to thank you for that. I live.
Just need your name for the record.
Oh, Margot Logan, and I live on the Columbia River. I live on Hayden Island, and protect Hayden Island too, please. I think I'll just make an observation. Only one Union Pacific Railroad representative testified today, and it makes me think, boy, they must feel confident. But they are not we the people. And my other observation, listening to the elements of this controversy, about what comes to me is, are we becoming a third world country being exploited for corporate profits and power? So no coal trains, please. Thank you.
So we're bumping up against the end. I'm going to be very strict on new thoughts only. So two and two. We're going to lose our quorum up here. So thanks for waiting and for distilling your testimony. Would you like to begin?
Yes, thank
please
you.
Please just give us your name.
Emily Townsend, and I'm a fourth-generation Oregonian. My great-grandfather is a commercial salmon fisherman on the Columbia River for over 30 years and grew up eating a lot of salmon and have high mercury levels. And as a woman who very much would like to be a mother, I'm very concerned about this, and I'm concerned about climate change. And I'm concerned that the work of my father, Don Francis, who started Willamette Riverkeeper, and all of the hard work of the environmental activists of this region who have worked so hard to reduce the amount of toxins in our regional environment will have gone to waste. And I really would like you to do a comprehensive assessment. Thank you.
Thanks. Give my best to your dad.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, thank you. My name is Ursula Irwin, and I recently moved into the Woodlawn neighborhood. It's a vibrant neighborhood with an astounding number of young families, many small children, toddlers, and infants. I lived in Hillsdale for 25 years, and I have never seen as many children as I see in Woodlawn. I live close to two elementary schools, that is, Woodlawn Elementary School and Fabian Elementary School. Both schools are a mere block away from the proposed and from the train lines. And I'm here to speak for the little guys who don't even know we're meeting here, but who need our wisdom to protect them from the harm.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
Hello. I'm an emissary from the sovereign state of Vancouver, Washington.
Ah, well, what is your name?
Denmark Wuchar.
Mr. Ambassador, please continue.
We passed a resolution in Vancouver, and I'm here to urge you to do the same, because wouldn't it be embarrassing for Vancouver to have a resolution in Portland not? Can you imagine thousands of Portlanders peeling off their weird stickers in disgrace?
And I would never hear the end of it from Mayor Tim Levitt.
By the way, we'd love to share our light rail with you as well.
That certainly is important.
Right back at you.
The coal industry has tried a divide and conquer strategy with their imposition of this threat on the Pacific Northwest, because Vancouver can't do it alone, and Portland can't do it alone. But together we can, and together we will.
Thank you, sir, very much. Hi.
Hi, my name is Martha Neuringer. I have been at OHSU for 40 years as a biomedical researcher studying effects of nutrition and environment.
Did you say 40?
Yes.
Wow.
I came as a small child. on eye and brain development, and I'm going to talk about one very tiny slice of the health effects of coal, which is the effects of mercury on brain development. I spent much of my career studying the beneficial effects of omega-3 fatty acids, did work that first showed those and that led to its addition to infant formula. And it's a very cruel and bitter irony that omega-3s, which are, of course, in fish, and fish, this great bounty that we have in the Northwest, is poisoned to some extent by mercury, so that our intake of this wonderful food is limited by this toxin, which is one of the most powerful toxins for neurodevelopment that affects visual development, motor development, cognitive development, which has significant and measurable effects on reducing human potential. And this, to me, is a moral issue, but it can also be reduced to dollars. And people have done that and have figured that this loss of cognitive ability can be translated to $3 billion a year in the United States, lost of economic potential. And that's part of the $30 billion impact on the health effects of coal generally, which in turn is part of the $500 billion externality costs of coal from production to transport to global warming. And in this case, we have this double whammy with effects of coal dust, which would tremendously increase the mercury load in our environment in the air and in the water. And then as it's burned in China, that those winds across the Pacific bring it right back to us. As Dr. Donahoe mentioned, about 20% of the mercury in our air comes from China. So I thank you for this resolution and urge you to pass a complete area-wide, comprehensive, cumulative, programmatic environmental impact assessment and include barges. Thank you.
And are you a doctor?
PhD.
PhD. Well, doctor, we always like to have folks from the Hill as part of our discussions on all these issues. Appreciate you being here.
Sure.
All right, our last panel. Thank you all for testifying. And thank you for waiting. Would you like to begin, sir?
Thank you. My name is Alan Shapiro. I live in Southeast, about a third of a mile from the tracks. We just moved here a little while ago from Florence, about a year ago, Florence, Oregon. And
the real Florence.
Yes, exactly. Right. They named that little town over in Italy after us.
I grew up in Newport.
You did?
Okay. I did, yes.
We're just down the street. Anyway, nobody's addressed China. I traveled in China 4 years ago. We had occasion to see the Three Gorges Dam. They were instituting, in addition to all the locks, they were instituting an elevator that would raise a 40-ton ship over the dam and drop it down on the other side. That dam, I think it was handled about 3% of their electricity. Now, China has 60% lung disease. They don't want coal. So, and they also manufacture about 60% of the world's solar panels. And when we begin to drop the tariffs on them, like it looks like we're going to do, right now it's more profitable for them to export it. But when we begin to drop tariffs on those solar panels, they're going to start using them. Now, they're not going to be using coal for a long time. Relatively long time, probably 20 to 30 years. What's going to happen to these huge lots of shipping that we ship the coal from when the market begins to collapse? Do you think the coal companies are going to clean them up? Who's going to be stuck with that bill? We think we have a super fund problem now. Just wait.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Sean Looney, and I represent the Linton Neighborhood Association. And on July...
Could you get a little closer to the mic?
Yeah. And on July 11th, the Linton Neighborhood Association passed a resolution opposing the export of coal. And one of our main reasons for the opposition was that exporting coal runs counter to the Northwest leadership in climate change legislation. And in 2008, the state of Oregon adopted a goal to reduce coal carbon emissions by 42%. And in 2009, the city of Portland and Multnomah County Climate Action Plan set a goal for reducing carbon emissions by 80% by 2050, and 40% in the interim by 2030. And I don't believe we can do that if we have coal.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi.
Hi there. My name is Laura Stevens, and I'm an organizing representative for the Sierra Club. And I want to add, I am a native, born and raised here in Portland, and I returned to Portland to join the fight to stop coal exports. And because of all of the environmental and the impacts to the environment and the community that have been named, that have been mentioned before me, I just want to add that I feel strongly that we should keep the coal in the ground. And this resolution vote, it coincides with an announcement, an unofficial announcement from the Army Corps of Engineers that they are going to do, that they're planning to do, only a bare-boned assessment of the impacts of exporting coal through the Port of Morrow, which would be shipped by rail from the Powder River Basin to the Port of Morrow and then barged down the Columbia River. And this is unacceptable We need a robust assessment of the environmental health and economic impacts on all fronts. We need transparency. We need the facts laid on the table. And we need a full environmental impact statement to make that happen. So I hope that, first of all, that you pass the resolution. I want to thank you very much, Commissioner Fitz, for putting forward that resolution. And I hope that you go beyond the resolution to work alongside us to stop coal exports and make sure that we have full transparency and a full environmental review. So thank you.
Thank you. Hi. Well, hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
You've been busy.
Yes, I have. My name is Scott Fernandez. I live in Northeast Portland. And we've heard a lot today about my things that concern me with the coal dust, and that is the chemistry that concerns me the most. EPA does not regulate the coal dust. But one of the great sources of pride in the city of Portland is our community gardens. And in Northeast Portland, at least two community gardens are within 100 yards of the railroad tracks, and this would clearly compromise the produce and the vegetables that are being grown there over the time of when these trains are coming by there. So I would ask that you vote yes on this resolution and keep the produce safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you all for testifying. Carla, would you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fritz.
Thank you, everybody who has come today, who has been working for a long time to bring this matter to everyone's attention. I see many folks here who were in Pioneer Courthouse Square in May when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spoke so eloquently about the evils of coal nationwide. So this isn't a single action that is going to change the course of that. It's adding our voices to the national clamor for a more just, equitable, and sustainable energy policy for our world, never mind our city and our state. Thank you, especially to my assistant, Milena Malone, who has done an excellent job of bringing this resolution to this point. So this resolution is about understanding and weighing short-term gains against the immediate and long-term damage that coal exports bring with them. And the resolution highlights those local, regional, and global concerns. It looks at most of the visible issues concerned with the rail transport. But note that four of the actions called for in this resolution are about coal exports, period. Five of them specifically address actions that the city will do should the permits be given for the coal trains. So there is the main thrust of this resolution is in calling for that area-wide comprehensive impact statement. And that is a process which has much more citizen involvement from all sides. And again, I do appreciate that everybody came today to give lots of things for each of us to think about. There were some many good points made by each one of you who came today. That's the kind of process we need the Army Corps of Engineers, who are the professionals who are engaged in figuring out what should happen nationally as well as regionally and through our city. And there is a concern about jobs. And the statement was made, what's more important than jobs? And as a nurse, I would say public health is more important than jobs. That short-term jobs are certainly of concern, and Portland was in the top 10 for job creation last year. We will continue to do that. Part of our success is because we are focusing on green technology and green jobs and sustainable technology. So for us to then have the impact of coal coming through our community would be counter to not only the image that we're projecting, but the actual fact of Portland with many, many good jobs in sustainable industries. So that's part of the reason for this. And it does come down to the health and well-being of our children. So it was mentioned how many schools are alongside the rails. In addition, it comes down to other jobs. It was mentioned at the rally we had a month or so ago that in Stevenson, Washington, the mile-long coal trains would cut off the access to their industrial waterfront for 30 minutes of every hour. So that's not just tourism jobs being impacted, that's good industrial jobs being impacted. And so that needs to be factored in. So we need to change the environmental energy equation. We need to think bigger and balance and better about what does it mean to actually balance all of these competing interests, and what do we want as a community? What we're doing today is stating what we want as a community. This is us. This is Portland. Thank you all for coming today and speaking your truths as you see them. I want the federal government to look very closely at this issue and this resolution is another step in that request. And I also mentioned that the Port of Portland has said that should West Hagen Island be developed as a marine terminal, that they want no part of coal exports. And that, again, goes to looking at jobs and what would it actually take to do the kind of environmental mitigation that would be necessary to make something like this work. Yes, we can engineer our way out of things, but we need to be thinking more clearly and be stating more clearly what we want the world of tomorrow to look like for our children. And I believe this resolution goes a long way. Thank you all for being here. Aye.
Fish?
I too, want to thank everyone for taking time to join us today. I thought this was one of the most thoughtful hearings that we've attended in a long time. And I especially wanted to say to Ms. Cotton, I thought your testimony summarized in a very comprehensive way all of the compelling issues. And I thank you for the time and care you put into that. And to everyone who came before us today. And I want to especially thank my friend and colleague Amanda Fritz. In the past year, she has shown, in my view, conspicuous leadership on a range of important issues: public health, affordable housing, equity, the right budget priorities. And today, I think she is showing great leadership in bringing this resolution on coal forward, and I thank her for that. To get our city and our state economy moving again, we should be looking at a variety of ways to bring family wage jobs to Oregon. I think we can all agree on that. But at the same time, we need to carefully examine the long-term impacts and costs of our economic choices. To be sure, as we've heard, no one has clean hands when it comes to coal. America still generates about 40% of its electricity using coal. But as we get smarter about how we generate our power and help other countries move to a more sustainable power generation, Portland should see this as a challenge and as an economic opportunity. I have concluded that there are far too many questions about the potential risks to public health and safety and to our environment of transporting coal in open rail cars through our neighborhoods. I therefore support this resolution because Portlanders deserve answers about the human health and environmental impacts of coal shipments before trains come rumbling through our city. Aye.
Adams?
I'm on record on this issue for years, helped lead efforts to close the Boardman coal power plant, and I oppose exporting the coal problem to other parts of the world. So I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership on this issue, and I'm very pleased to vote aye. So approved. And we are adjourned, or in recess or something.
Now, what are you doing at PPA? Break the leg.
Thank you.